Welcome back to Rain on Your Parade with J.L. Covan. I'm J.L. Covan, here as always with Producer Mike. Hello, Producer Mike. How are you?
Hi, J.L. Hi, everybody. How you doing?
What's Mike, I had a great weekend this weekend.
Yeah.
Do you know what I did?
Did you come to my 35th birthday?
I did.
Nice.
I did. I had a great time. I was in my old neighborhood.
Yeah.
The bar we were in, I'm forgetting which bar it was in the past. I think it might have been Murphy's.
Okay.
Like when I lived there, but the bars on those blocks go through a lot of changes, but it felt fun. I saw a former comedian that I haven't seen in years.
Yes. Shout out to Dan Dagnus.
Yeah. I saw all the personalities that come alive on Slickback Studios Instagram. Yep. I saw them in the flesh.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. It was a lot of fun and it was so fun. I did something I rarely do.
What was that?
Because usually I only do it if I think I'm going to hook up with somebody. I said, New Jersey Transit be damned.
Oh, yeah. I know. This was a big deal.
Take your last train and shove it up your underperforming ass. I'm taking a lift from the Upper East Side all the way back to Bloomfield. And $80, pretty reasonable. Like, it's pretty
honestly
good.
Pretty good. Yeah.
So as soon as I saw that, I said, it's fate. And I checked it earlier in the night and I was like, 80. Oh, no. But if I check again, it's probably going to be like 110.
Yeah.
It was 80 still. And I said, I got to get this one. But it was a lot of fun. You were surprised that I was talking to two of your younger constituents.
Well, they were just the people that I was thinking. My friend Dev is a very talented photographer. She's also 28, I think, and like hot I like Dev, and she's very smart. She's a very voracious reader and stuff like that. I just figured out of all the people at the party, that would not be the person I'd look over and see you talking to the most.
It was her and her sidekick who came, her plus one.
Whose name is escaping me, but she was very nice.
Oh, I know it.
Oh, well, you want to shout her out or no?
I'll let you do, like, because that's your group. So if you want to name Dan and Dev, you'd be free.
Sure.
But it was, I think what it was, we realized at one point during the night, probably mid 15th great joke I had told, all three of us were biracial.
Yeah.
And I said, that's it. There's an energy. We are the future.
Yeah.
So it was fun. It was a half Mexican, half white.
Yes.
It was half Puerto Rican, half Italian.
Yep.
And half Haitian, half Irish.
Yeah.
So we really had it all covered. And we united in our mutual hatred of Dominicans. So that was, if you're asking out there, how do I, like, it's about finding common ground. And it was a very funny thing. To, you know, because the half Puerto Rican and the half Haitian, of course, there's going to be a rival. But to have Mexico come off the top ropes like a, what is that, luchadora?
Yes, luchador, yeah.
was awesome. So, it was refreshing to me that I was talking to two people under the age of 30.
Yes.
That it was like, I don't have to talk about Teletubbies or whatever the kids like these days. But it was like, okay, this, I need to find a way to find this market, the readers, the more mature.
Yeah.
But I feel like those are diamonds in the rough.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like, I don't think our distrust of people under the age of like 28 is misplaced.
Yeah.
But they proved me wrong for a night. So it was a very fun night. Talked to people, met people from the Slickback Studios family. Very fun. And then I broke out in hives the next day.
No shit, really?
Yeah. I don't know. I've been stressed about a lot, but also I don't know if I should just stop drinking alcohol altogether.
Is it from booze, you think?
I don't know. I've got a lot. There's a lot.
They just went away? What?
No. My armpits are itchy as fuck right now. I took a Benadryl last night and I almost was going to cancel everything, but I'm going to the US Open with Laura after this.
Can't cancel that.
Right. I actually said to her, I was like, do you want to see if somebody else is available in case I still feel like shit? And she's like, no, I want to go with you. And I was like, oh
yeah.
And it's the first time in eight times going to the US Open with Laura that she bought the tickets.
Mm.
So, I'm no longer a high value man.
Right.
Had a good run. 7 years buying US Open tickets, some years, multiple nights of tickets. And this year I was like, you're doing pretty well at work. And, I suck. Can you get the 10? She's like, okay, I'll get them.
Yeah.
It also had to do with me buying the quarter season plan for the Rangers. That's a big, it's a big chunk of change. But everybody, feel free to wish Mike a happy belated birthday in the comments if you're watching on YouTube or if you go to YouTube to leave comments. We had tremendous interaction this past week on RFK. RFK and comedy ethics episode.
Yeah.
And multiple comments about your chest hair.
Yeah, it is a fan favorite. I'm doing less camera work these days, but yeah. I mean, women like it. Some women, apparently.
Yeah, Austin.
Not any of the women on Hinge.
Pascarelli. So yeah, that was a fun party. And it was like, it's one of those things, like I think why I don't go out as often is, like many men, I feel like my instincts at this point are almost honed to be like, I go out and I drink to meet women.
Yep.
Like that becomes such a pattern. Not that I don't go out. Like I went out on Friday and had fun and I met women, but didn't meet women biblically. Yeah, yeah. Nothing, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But it's like there's something so fun about going out, and that's why I don't do it.
Yeah.
Because it gets me like it's almost, it's living life with a condom when you have a relationship.
Yeah.
You go out and all the things you used to have fun doing, you're like, gotta restrict this.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
So it's like, you're doing all the things. It's dark. There's nice looking women. I'm drunk.
Right.
And scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, cut. Okay. And now the crowd's just going to imagine you having fun the rest of the night. Next scene, you're waking up hungover in Bloomfield being interrogated about the night before.
Covered in hives.
So fun party. I don't know if I have anything else to go through before we get to our main topic. I think we can. And by the way, anybody out there, if you see this shirt in a couple of weeks again, it's under the loophole of when recording double episodes, I don't have to do double shirts.
That's right.
So, but this is now September, new shirt. My mom bought me two from my nephew's school.
What's on it? Oh, it's nephew's school.
Okay. It's the orange shirt, but in gray.
Yeah.
That I wore 2 weeks ago. So we're going to talk NFL this week because the NFL season's kicking off.
Dun, 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 dun.
And bum, 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 bum. I stand with Cap.
So, I know. Still, after all these years.
And that's Colin Kaepernick, Mike, not Captain America.
I'm aware.
Okay. Yeah. On your left, Cap or Nick. So with that note, let's take a break early and, you know, we'll be back with NFL talk. And we're back. Mike, how was that break?
Excellent. As always, chest hair. There you go.
Did you feel yourself aging even more during the break?
Minute by minute, JL.
On your march to 40?
It is a turning point that I was not expecting to be this disorienting. Let's just say that.
But isn't it, like, in some ways, I'm sure I harm your ability to stay young because you're constantly surrounded with grumpy old man. But
no, because it's where I want to be. Like, I hate the urge to have to try to feel young. I don't like that.
Mm.
You know, I'm 35. I'm fine with being 35. The stress comes from still being single and still like wanting to kind of take that step with somebody and not having any success. You know, I really think if I was just a family man at this point, you know, I'd be fine. I'd be like, I'm 35. I'm aging out of relevancy of any kind. Like, okay. You know, I'm at home, I'm watching sports, I'm reading books, you know, that's it. I'm fine with that. But that's the problem. I guess the older you start to feel and the older you start to get, women like that less.
Yeah, well, then you can't get into the zaddy phase.
I know, yeah.
So, but there's a waiting time.
Yeah.
I'm told that I'm next up.
For the zaddy phase?
Yeah.
We'll see.
The problem is, the good thing is, my mom asks me sometimes, are you dyeing your hair? I go, no.
Yeah.
What do you mean, am I dyeing my hair?
No, you're lucky because I'm starting to go gray already.
And Laura says to me, considering how stressed you always are, I can't believe you don't have more gray hair. I have a couple. Like, I think I'm just going to get, like, by the time I'm 60, I'm going to have a little Mitt Romney action, which will make me look wealthy.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, women will be like,
as long as you start to dress better. Yes.
Women will be like, you have Mitt Romney hair, but you have, you know, who's a piece of shit in politics that's poor. I don't know. They're all rich. They all steal from us.
Yeah.
I only have a couple silvers coming in, which is pretty nice. But I'm always like, Mom, why would I dye my hair? I don't understand, honestly, why men dye their hair.
I've said the same thing. My mom wants my dad to dye his hair because he's salt and peppery. I was just like, it's going to look ridiculous if he just shows up the next day with black hair.
Yeah.
Like, people are going to be like, whoa, Alan.
I completely understand wanting like hair plugs or hair treatment. I get that because you look way different and older without hair. But there's nothing wrong with hair going gray or whatever. Yeah. It's like, to me, it's very weird that men do that. And it always looks weird. Like Adam Carolla once said, he goes, Paul McCartney, you're 80 walking around with jet black hair.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
Whereas Tom Cruise, the master of male aging, has now decided to start letting some gray on the sides.
Tom Cruise over Tom Brady?
Well, Tom Cruise is aging like somebody where you know he's having stuff done, but you can't really prove it.
Yeah.
Whereas Tom Brady, we're aware that you're having things done, Tom.
Right. Fair enough.
You're what happened to your face? Yeah. Like you had it structurally redone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you were going bald in your 20s and you were doing some sort of Bieber wraparound Trump look.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you had good hair. But once again, that to me makes sense, wanting to have hair.
Yeah.
But dyeing your hair is weird to me. Like if I went gray right now, I'd be like, gray with a tan is also a good contrast.
Yeah.
You know, so that's, I mean, not everybody can be as blessed, I guess, but you know, for me, when I go gray, if I ever do, but apparently I'm too blessed to be stressed when it comes to my hair. So shows coming up, folks, you probably knew this already, but I'm in Newark this Friday. And then I'm in St. Paul, Minnesota next week. And then I am in Rutherford, New Jersey, September 28th for a big Trump show. October 11th, New York City for a Trump show. October 18th, 19th in Chicago for both a Trump show and then a headlining stand-up show back-to-back nights. October 30th, I'm in Emporia, Virginia for all you Southern fans. And it's more South than Richmond, probably politically also.
Okay.
And then after that, we got some November shows, et cetera, et cetera. I also have some very big things on the horizon. And as of now, folks, as of now, I can say it. Half Blackface. No, not the special that nobody has reviewed in the last 2 weeks, but the album Half Blackface, I now own 100% of it. And that's really all I can kind of elaborate on that. But that means that if you buy it now or gift it to somebody on Amazon or iTunes, I get all the money now. So, you know, it's the best set I've ever had. Really anybody who was there knows that, who's been a fan of mine for a long time. So if you have it already, thank you. Maybe you gift it to somebody. If you've never listened to the album version, which is a different show, about 30% different from the Amazon special, list stream it. Obviously the more people that buy it and download it, the better it is for my wallet. But obviously if money's tight, stream it, that counts too. Give it a nice review, give it a 5-star review on Apple and or Amazon. But yeah, get that for yourself, for a loved one, and most importantly for me and my finances. So that's it. That's how I think those are my announcements. I hope at some point people actually take to heart the announcements I'm making, that they actually impact my career and my finances. And I'm just not saying them to fill up space.
We're going
to
see.
Yeah. Well, we will see. Come on. We already know. 1600 a week and not one new review on Amazon Prime for this. But anyway, guys, we're talking NFL. Mike, are you a big NFL fan?
Yeah, I am. I go back and forth, and I was definitely going back and forth during the cap era, which I know drove you away. But yeah, it's just hard to deny. I really like football. I try not to be as obsessed about it as a lot of Americans are, but it's just packaged so perfectly every Sunday. You just get to sit in front of the TV and just watch sports all day. You have an excuse to like not do anything. It's the best.
Well, I think personally, it's driven our country away from faith and family.
Football has.
That's why Sunday, to me, is the Lord's Day. Mm-hmm. And it's centered around services, not around big behemoth gladiators assaulting each other.
You can get your services out of the way early.
I do. I go to 8:30 mass.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
get back in the building. When you have insomnia, Patrick Mahomes.
When you have insomnia, the good thing is you can wake up and go to mass with all the 90-year-olds.
Right.
First crack of dawn.
Right.
But the NFL to me, it's what I think it's everything about it. I used to like going to my two favorite things were going to the bar just to watch. I'm a Steeler fan, to watch Steeler games.
You are? Why?
Because my brother was a Fairweather fan in the 70s, and I just grew, I was born into it.
Man, that...
I can't believe how old you are.
Well, no, my brother's 7 years older than me. That's the thing.
Nuts.
No, no, you got to realize my brother was 7 years old when I was born, or six and a half. So like he was just aware enough to know that the Steelers had won four titles that his decade.
Right.
So yeah, no, it's like that's more of a he stuck with them, but it was clearly a Fairweather fan sort of instinct. And then I had no allegiance to football. I didn't understand football until I got Tecmo Bowl.
Yeah.
I didn't understand the rules or anything. But I was a diehard Steeler fan for a long time. And, you know, along the way, when you have to throw out your Ben Roethlisberger jersey because of rape allegations, you stick with the team, though. You're sort of like, all right, I just won't wear the Roethlisberger jersey. You get an Antonio Brown jersey. Next thing you know, he's off the reservation being accused of things. The Jerome Bettis jersey, still good.
The bus.
Still good. Yeah. Still acceptable.
Cordell Stewart. Those guys. Yeah, the Steelers have primarily... a clean history, I think.
Right. So, but for me, as you alluded to, but I loved going to bars during the regular, It was just, I'm not even a big drinker. I love pub food though. So I was the asshole who's like, I'll have three Pepsis and a lot of food. But it's fun. It's just, it is a good, especially if you find a good bar where it's not full of like animals screaming at everything.
Yeah.
For me, one of the things that annoyed me, and then we'll get to my break with the NFL. Also, fantasy football annoys me. Not that people do it, but that I'll be in a bar. It's like, I still remember this vividly. The Steelers 1 year, many years ago, were like win and they're in, lose and they're out sort of situation, like week 17. And this guy was like cheering for like the Browns tight end. And I was just like, come on, man. Like, that's so lame. Like, come on. Yes. Yes. Joe Johnson just gotten six more yards. Yes. I'm in second place now. It's like, meanwhile, you have real fans of the sport and the team, which I feel like is, you know, should be the priority.
I would argue that fantasy football players are more fans of football. But they know more players. They're more invested in these games.
For the wrong reasons.
I don't know.
I would say. No.
Because they're gamers and they're competitive. Unlike you, passerby fan.
I've got a lot of Chris Kreider failed bets to prove that I can combine gambling and fandom.
Okay.
But I wouldn't, like, I do find it almost rude to the spirit of sports to be prioritizing your points in fantasy over a playoff berth. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and the thing is, this is the truth. If that guy had been wearing a Cleveland Browns jersey, I would have been like, ah, good for him. Like, fuck.
Right.
But it was more like, it was very a Wall Street sort of approach. Yeah, like company fails, I make money. Company succeeds, I make money. Who gives a fuck? Fuck all of you.
Yeah.
That's how I view
a joyless pursuit.
Yeah. That's how I view, fantasy football sometimes. But anyway, but I was a big, big fan. I liked the ritual of it. Like so many people do, everything that comes with it. And it's a great sport. And the athletes are incredible. These are like gladiators to the like 10th degree.
Yeah.
It's an incredibly complicated sport. It's an incredibly well-marketed sport. You know, it's almost like the NHL should like sit down with the NFL and be like, hey, we also have fights and physicality and great levels of athleticism and skill. Mm-hmm. How can we be more like you? But the Kaepernick thing, and people always bring up, well, what about when that guy raped somebody or that guy abused his wife or that? And I go, yeah, I don't have to be a fan of that person.
Right.
But the Kaepernick situation was such the league made a collective, I would say, racist decision to ban a player.
Yeah.
And, you know, what only fed that more was the idea of, well, he's not, you know, you got into that debate for years where it's like, he could help a team. Well, now he couldn't. I think we all agree. It's been like 7 years.
That ship sailed
years.
Probably a couple of years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
So like you don't get to be right now. Of course, I'm not arguing he should be retiring right now. Not,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And I thought that just struck me as so wrong. And I don't know. I mean, you know, not to make it personal, but a biracial guy getting screwed over by his industry that he's clearly talented enough to thrive in.
Yeah.
I don't know. That sort of hits a nerve with me.
Is there collusion in your world, you think, to keep you out of?
I think so.
Your fans are just colluding against you.
My fans are mostly colluding against me. I think they're the main perpetrators of my failure.
That I can get. Yeah.
They signed me to a contract. Like, you're going to have 200,000 followers on social media that'll love your stuff. Sweet. Oh, don't read the fine print where it says we'll never buy anything you do.
Right.
But the Kaepernick thing, and then not only fed it, people saying, well, he shouldn't be in the league, or he made it about himself, or he made, and then to see where we got shortly thereafter in terms of police brutality and criminal justice reform ideas, to be like, oh, he was ahead of the curve. Like,
I will be honest, I do think at the time that it started, I remember thinking, I thought that he was just doing it for like attention. And then as it went on, I was like, oh, no, this guy made a pretty conscious choice to put his career on the line and get completely fucked over.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, and the crazy thing about it is, and these are all excuses people have heard probably, but it was like he was kneeling and he had talked to some soldier, and they'd come to that decision that was like a respectful way to protest.
Yes.
And, you know, when you have Trump during the 2016 campaign going, you're fired.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. That to me, it's almost a condemnation of America. And people can show me whatever quote from Kaepernick or his girlfriend said that's like, oh, that was very anti-police or that was beyond the pale. But the point was, when you're on the same side as Trump, you're on the wrong side almost every time, as far as I'm concerned. And the idea that his free speech and the way he went about it was like, you know, it made it very plain to me that the NFL is run by, you know, mostly hard right, old rich white dudes. Mm-hmm. And they flex their power in a way that would not impact them at all. You know, and I loved it when people would, you know, the biggest liars in the world are the Republicans who are like, I'm done with the woke NFL. No, you're not. Ratings say otherwise.
Right. Yeah. Nobody's done with it.
Nobody's done with it. Except me. No. And
when was the last time you watched the game?
Does Hard Knocks count?
I mean, it kind of does.
I know it does.
Yeah.
No, I watch Hard Knocks and the Super Bowl.
Okay. All right. Fair.
And it is.
Would you watch? So do you like football?
Yes.
Do you watch college football?
No, well, I
like watch, you just gave up football completely.
Well, college football, I never watched a lot of.
Yeah.
Except when my brother went to Northwestern. And so as far as any college team following Northwestern, if some years they're relevant and surprise people. So I will get into their games because it's Big Ten. So you'll see some good competition. But I just, you know, going to a D3 school where, yes, football is as big as any other college, but it doesn't make a mark as far as like anything beyond like, oh, let's go to the game this Saturday to watch our friends and hopefully we beat Amherst.
Yeah.
But the NFL, like what I have found is I obviously make very good use of my Sundays now. You know, it's like workout, go to a movie, write some. And I'm like, look at all that time, all that I did, you know, being by myself for a Sunday, every Sunday.
Yeah.
But I miss everything about it. I like going to a bar and it not being nighttime. Like, it's kind of fun where it's like, yeah, people are getting a little drunk, but it doesn't have that. Most of the places I would be drinking at don't have any kind of like St. Patrick's Day danger vibes.
Yeah.
Bar food. You just find a bar you like. A Cornerstone was my place. Sure. I was going to share a sleazy story with you about one of the last times I watched football, at Cornerstone, but no, this is a family podcast. But I miss that stuff, like all the extras and like, you know, going to church, going to work out and then being like, all right, now I can pig out. I love the NFC, AFC championship day. Also, I would go to a bar with friends often for that day where you're just fucking locked in. And I always hated the people who'd be like, okay, my game's over. I'm leaving. It's like, what? So I just sat through the game I don't give a shit about. And now I'm going to be here like most of you are leaving while I watch the fucking second one.
Yeah.
But it's just hard. And I know there are people who are like absolutists when it comes to Kaepernick and not watching anymore, but the Super Bowl is kind of this humongous thing. And I didn't watch it for two years. And then like Laura was like, I want to see the halftime show. And I was like, all right, I guess we'll watch the halftime show and the 4 hours before and after as well. Fine.
And we'll make dip and we'll do the whole thing.
But it is a marketing masterpiece, the NFL, with substance behind it.
Yeah.
But I don't feel comfortable still just kind of giving back in to the NFL the way I used to. Outside of Hard Knocks, which is still, yes, ratings and streams for an NFL product.
But what would it take?
You know what? Honestly,
apology.
Honestly, know that would not be enough. And there'd be people going, but even a fucking we were wrong would be something.
Yeah.
Like not for it to happen when he's fucking 80 and it's like Roger Goodell's grandson is running the NFL. Yeah. Now, you know it was wrong. You've done all your bullshit. You've tried to do your George Floyd like media stuff anyway. So you know the point he was making is valid.
Yeah.
Maybe you didn't think it was as valid or don't think it's as valid or don't think this or that. But the man lost his career. And for everybody who's like, well, he wasn't that good. Look at the players getting humongous contracts who've never done half of what he did.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact is he made a Super Bowl. Two NFC championship games, was a dynamic modern day quarterback before every team was looking for the fast, big arm quarterback.
Dual threat. Yeah.
He had all the tools. Does that mean he was going to, my uncle was a diehard 49ers fan. He personally this is before any Kaepernick stuff, like protest stuff. He thought, I don't know if he's I don't know if the league has figured him out. In other words, and that can happen. But look at all the players that get money in this league. Like he got money. He had a big contract. And for him not to find a place and for no team to have the courage in a league where you can beat your wife or say the N-word.
Yeah.
And as long as it's not on tape, you can play. And for this to be the thing, it kind of spit in the face, I thought, of black people, of progressive minded people to sort of say, no, just like Pete Rose is out of baseball for gambling on baseball. I understand that.
Yeah.
What football was basically saying is our irredeemable sin is protesting against the police.
Yeah.
Like that's our, you can't come back from that. And that's disgusting.
Yeah.
And an apology, would go a long way for me because it would be like, yes, like cleanse yourself of this obvious sin. No matter how many fucking dipshit pickup truck assholes are like, Kaepernick disrespect their flag, brother. Fuck them. Those guys are way worse. And these are the same people who will complain if Facebook doesn't let you say progressives are raping babies in pizza shops while they try to inject you with gay vaccine. You took it down, Facebook. How dare you? These are my rights. Free speech. And then Kaepernick's like peacefully kneeling, saying nothing, by the way, did not say, look, by the way, did you see me kneeling? That's about police brutality.
Yeah.
They was brought to people's attention. And to me, that's the problem with the NFL. And I know my protest, if you can even call it that, I'm like a pescatarian of protests. It's like, I only do Hard Knocks on the Super Bowl. Pescatarian protest would be a good title if we did like goofy titles for the show.
Yeah.
But my limit is like, I wouldn't still feel good about just being like, yeah, I'm going to go watch the games. I'd just be like, I still feel strongly enough that he was really wronged. And I think it's also, I've said about my comedy, one of my biggest fears is that I make good things and then nobody watches them or sees them. And it just sort of is out there and I know about it and nobody else does. And to me, this almost feels like when you read stories about like erasing history, Like, oh, yeah. When the China, you know, some authoritarian government, they burned all the artwork and right. books from that era. And this is what kind of feels like. It's like Colin Kaepernick. It almost feels like they tried to like erase him. You know,
yeah,
like,
I mean, in a way they kind of did.
And they kind of did.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I would come back to, which is like, oh yeah, a lot of time's gone by, but in a weird way that makes it worse because now he's more irrelevant.
Yeah.
Like some 18-year-old who's watching football or going to his freshman year of college football. Maybe he doesn't know who the fuck Colin Kaepernick is.
Yeah, but that happens, man. And I think this was kind of the one thing that I was going to say to you. Is
not to OJ.
To what?
We all know who OJ is.
Well, that has nothing to do with... Well, I guess it does have a lot to do with football. But, I mean, if you just look through the history of sports, with the exception of hockey, I guess, the black people have kind of been the agent of change for a lot of big things that have happened in all three of those major sports, the NFL, the NBA, and baseball. I mean, to bring it back to baseball, it's like Kurt Flood is the reason that there is free agency. I think it was, I think the case is Flood versus MLB,
mm-hmm.
but he, same situation. He
basically, if you're interested, my brother's friend wrote a very well-received book
about this
called Well Paid Slave about right. Kurt Flood.
So this whole thing, as you know, then obviously it's
he lost.
Did he lose?
Kurt Flood. It
wait,
brought,
no, he lost that case.
I'm almost certain. It's sad.
That
I read
can't
the book.
Be.
No. But then they did bring it. Like it was almost like a
because it was indentured servitude. It was that was the argument that allowing them to not
vamp for a minute. I know you don't want to, but.
That the players in baseball were so
there. Okay, there's some. I might be remembering wrong, but there is a.
I could have sworn he won, but he was blackballed from baseball. Basically,
that may be just what I'm thinking. Yeah. I'm like, there was a very negative.
They kept him out essentially, but it was essentially a civil rights movement within baseball that a black man sort of argued that it was indentured servitude, that they didn't have an option to be free agents, and then as that got pushed through in the 70s,
I am right. He lost
he did
in
lose?
The Supreme Court.
Get the fuck out of here.
So it was like he lost, but they knew the writing was on the wall. Like, in other
so then
words,
how did they, with the CBA just eventually was like, fuck it, let's have free agency.
They just kept pushing for it. Like the Players Association just kept, they didn't. Like,
I didn't know he
fighting.
Lost.
Yes.
I thought that he won and they were just like, well, fuck you, dude. Like we're done.
No,
with
it was more like both. It was like, right. We won and fuck you,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And by the way, this is an unfortunate title for the case. Cause it was, The I guess the commissioner, Bowie Kuhn.
Oh, okay.
So
got it.
Flood versus Kuhn.
Yeah, not great.
Not the best. If I'm pronouncing it right, which I think I am, Kuhn. I don't think it's like
then
Kuhn.
Was there another? Because I thought there was a Flood versus MLB. Was there more than one case then? I could have sworn. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean,
no, they cited precedent from a 1922 case and they were like 5-3 in favor of Major League Baseball.
Jesus Christ.
So I was right.
So that just goes to show you too. This is like kind of makes my point even more. It's like, at what point we know how bad baseball was with black players when the whole country sort of was bad with mm-hmm. black people. But
and
I mean,
the worst thing that baseball ever did was make the movie 42.
Which we both agree
which
is a
was
horrible
the most
movie.
Insulting thing yeah. to black baseball players
yes.
ever.
I mean, just like shit all over Jackie Robinson's legacy. So awful.
Hey, I'm going to get this done.
Yeah.
Here's Jackie. This is a good impression, everybody. This is not offensive. Jackie Robinson in real life. Well, I was just excited to play for the Los Angeles Dodgers and accomplish our goals. And I think we're headed towards a good place in the sport. Here's Chadwick Boseman, RIP.
Yeah.
As Jackie Robinson. I'm going to do this. What? Now, I know you don't want to do the Bryant Gumbel voice because that will come off maybe, but facts are facts.
Yeah, not even
he didn't
remotely
sound like the Dark Knight.
Yes. Yeah, it was ridiculous. But I mean, the whole point that I was basically trying to make.
Most people were distracted by that because the movie was so terrible
awful.
Anyway.
Such a horrible script. Everybody's bad in it. It's so
and
bad.
The home run at the end, I was following it in the theater and I go, I don't think this was a walk-off home run. It was like the fourth inning and he hits a home run and they wanted to end on a home run and people were like out of the and I was like, I think the game's still going on
so
in
bad,
the story.
Dude. Yeah. Hey, you, mister.
Yeah. I'm just letting you know. We're with you.
And there was a, there, and even though this, what the way they handled it, when Pee Wee Reese, Hall of Famer, is willing to shower with him, that is an important thing. It's an important thing, like, hey, I'm not treating you like an other. But it was so funny the way it was done, like with music. And it's like, is it Brokeback Mountain or is it a locker room?
It's so bad.
Hey, I don't remember what he said, but it was like, I'll shower with
it's
you.
It's so bad. But I was just saying, the point that I was just trying to make essentially was that, like, every sport's done this to black people throughout the. So I guess, you know, I don't know if there was ever any kind of proper apology to Kurt Flood, but they basically did the same thing to him that happened to Cap. It just happened in the 70s.
And that's the thing, is that it's like you sort of expect, and that's why, not to tie this into Trump, like I always do.
Yeah.
But it does speak to where our country went, where it's like Trump was a huge step backwards for this country's progress and morality.
Right.
The country's not perfect, plenty of problems, but Trump was like the first step where I said, oh, wow, enough people wanted to take a legitimate clear step backwards in terms of how we operate as a country. And for Kaepernick, for this to happen, it was like, it felt like we were watching another civil rights sort of issue, but, oh, I thought we were done with that. I didn't know we could still banish a black man for speaking out peacefully about something.
Yeah.
And people just let it go. And the apologists, I got into a lot of online fights with the apologists who were just like, who probably are still the same ones, like I said, defending free speech in every other circumstance. Mm-hmm. But to me, it was like, the optics are so clear. It's 30 white-owned NFL franchises, old Republicans, Trump-loving type Republican owners. Mm-hmm. These aren't your Mitt Romney. There aren't as many Mitt Romneys among the ownership. It's a lot more Trump owners.
Yeah.
Basically.
Jim Irsay, Jerry Jones.
You know, basically being like.
Woody Johnson was the ambassador to England under Trump. He owns the Jets.
Yeah. God, I wish I could have gone out with Rooney Mara, by the way.
Of course. Why did you know her?
I did. No, I didn't. No, but now with her and Joaquin Phoenix on their mega like vegan lifestyle, she kind of looks like a frail bird now, but she's very pretty, very talented. I would have given her the Oscar for Dragon Tattoo. Mm. And for those of you that don't know, Rooney Mara is named after her two grandparents.
Yes. Willington
Mara. The Rooney family and the Mara family, who own the Giants and the Jets.
Yes. No. The Giants and the Steelers.
Jesus Christ. Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah.
Rooney is the Steelers.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Mars, the Giants.
Yes.
Right. Not the Jets.
No, Giants. Because
we were talking
Steelers.
About the Jets. Right. Yeah. Steelers and Giants, which is pretty cool. I wonder, how do you think they felt when Joaquin Phoenix showed up? Because he is.
Not a big football fan, I bet.
Because he's the one dude who I feel like it would be like, every guy would have been like, oh my God, I'm engaged to Rooney Mara.
Oh,
that's
like
NFL up the ass, bro. And he was like, I don't like football. What's wrong with your, what's Joe Quinn? What's up with Joe? He's just very artistic. It's a very violent game. My name's Johnny Cash. No, but I think about that sometimes where it's like, maybe she was like always getting hit up by like bros. And then all of a sudden it was like, I met this really deep, artistic vegan guy.
Yeah, I wonder.
Who's the opposite of every man who's ever been in our lives.
Yeah, yeah.
he even has from a car accident kind of like a warp. Like it's like,
yeah,
I couldn't lift weights even if I wanted to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, I'm so wet, Joe Quinn. Joaquin, I know. But yeah, big fan of Rooney Mara. But I think that's why I haven't been able to, like, sometimes I'm just like, maybe I'll just, what's the harm? And like, well, I'm not doing anything by not watching, but this comes down once again to sort of my personal choice. I'm doing it for me, not for the harm. I'm not going to harm the NFL.
Yeah.
If I watch or I don't watch, nothing changes.
Yes, that's correct.
But it's sort of just like, but I'm still not happy with what they did. And just like in baseball, it's probably a similar thing. Like, I stopped liking baseball when they took the Dodgers to LA. What about when Kurt Flood was banned for trying to get rights?
Who? I know.
Fuck them. I don't care.
I know.
But when they take away my team, they can go to hell.
It's honestly, the Kurt Flood thing is just like not even talked about enough. Because I didn't even know he lost the fucking lawsuit.
Well, I remember
so nuts.
When you said he won, I was like, am I wrong? Because it's like stuck in my brain. That's like a devastating part of the story.
That's crazy.
Where you're like, Andy lost.
Yeah, his career was basically, and he was good, dude.
Right.
He was a good ball player who fucking, you know, wanted his chance to test free agency. And they were just like, get the fuck out of here, dude. I mean, yeah, when you look at it, it's nuts. And I mean, even through the 70s, you know, Reggie Jackson talks about just going through the minor league system.
Oh, did you see that clip
Alabama.
Of him during, I
yeah.
think, the All-Star
oh, absolutely.
Weekend?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just like I mean, I think baseball has really made an effort to fix a lot of that stuff, even mm-hmm. though I don't know that I love the fact that they just basically made the Negro League stats Major League Baseball stats.
Oh boy, I'm stepping away from the mic.
No, it's
literally
just,
both mics. I'm stepping away from both mics right now.
I think it's a complicated thing. I think those players absolutely deserve to be honored. And
I think
it was
to trigger OutKick.
To do what?
To trigger OutKick. Oh, that's like the Clay Travis conservative sports.
Ridiculous. Yeah. But I mean, I think it's just more, it's just like a little more of a complicated issue than to just be like, now these sports are official. But I do think that it's, you know, those guys need to be honored and recognized properly. They were amazing players that would have been Hall of Fame players that didn't get to play with their white contemporaries.
Right.
But I do think that Major League Baseball has made an effort
right.
to try to correct some of that stuff. Cause it is this like original sin that you kind of can't get rid of.
Yeah.
And as much as I do love football and as much as I, you know, I don't want to say that I love the NFL. I like the NFL, I guess. But they do some funky stuff sometimes with their ethics, you know. And yeah. I do think it is funny that all these years later after Kaepernick, they have like unity on the back of their helmets and stuff like that. And it's just like, well, all right. Like, can you let this guy at least now get like a coaching job or something, like something? You know?
I genuinely think the league should apologize. Like, I don't think anything short of that. Like, I think that is what they need to do. And of course, like I said, people will justifiably go too little too late. But I think it sends a message to not only the players and the fans, but like the shitty fans.
Right.
And the people who found what Kaepernick did to be like the worst thing ever, which is just telling on yourself,
yeah.
In my opinion.
It's just tough because they are the league, other than hockey, which we've discussed a lot. They are just like so in bed with the military and so in
bed with. I
hate
that shit.
Yeah, dude, like the flyovers and all that stuff. Like,
well,
I think they
the
are
Rangers
a major.
Rangers are in bed, are in a threesome with the FDNY yes. and NYPD.
Menage a trois.
Yeah, it's a devil's triangle.
A menage a what?
French? I ain't no homo. Let's go Rangers. But you know, the military thing, and the thing that Kaepernick got me thinking about, and I'm not kidding. I get up at sporting events.
Yeah.
But I sometimes, like before I'm about to get up at Ranger games most recently, I'm like, do I really want to get up for this?
Yeah.
Nothing to do with dishonoring the country, but I'm just like, this is such BS.
Yeah.
And I once tried to do it at a comedy show and it didn't go over well, but I was like, I want everybody to like get up for the national anthem at the beginning of my set and just be like, isn't that absurd?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So why do sports? Why are sports? Why do we have to do it for sports? Like, we just accepted that's what's happening. And obviously, if anybody ever tried to take away the anthem from sports, the right, you'd never hear any, you'd think a nuclear bomb just went off.
Yeah, it would be a big issue.
Which is hilarious.
Yeah.
It's just, and once again, why isn't that divisive? Do you know what I mean?
Like getting rid of it?
No, like having it. Hey, some people don't like it. Some people just get up like me to not cause problems.
Right.
I wouldn't sit out of protest, but I'm like, well, at a Ranger game, as an example, you're going to all yell and curse and say, let's go Rangers during this solemn anthem that right. nobody's allowed to disrespect. To me, that goes back to, I think, white people feeling like the national anthem is their song.
Yeah.
In a way, it represents their country and their song. So like I can, it's like their N-word. It's like, we can disrespect the flag.
Yeah.
Not you.
Yeah.
Not you. You have to respect it and be grateful.
Yeah.
But I can go, fuck you, Caps,
yeah.
during a Rangers Capital game when there's a silent note
yeah.
during the song. But I think it's the NFL to me is like, it shows like, I don't know why there hasn't been, it's not just about Kaepernick. This is about the NFL. I'm confused why there hasn't been a strike in the NFL.
Oh, there's no confusion. They don't have any leverage. The Players Association. It's not like baseball. Baseball is one of the strongest unions in the country.
It's the strongest, I think. Yeah.
And
football appears to be the weakest.
Well, I mean, they've had
like UPS gets more.
Do you
done.
Remember what happened when they had a strike in the NFL?
I think like 1987 or something.
It was around. Yeah, it was.
They used replacement players.
Yeah. And they
which gave us a great Gene Hackman, Keanu Reeves movie, The Replacements. That's right. Highly recommend.
They just all these guys started crossing the picket line.
Right.
So it was just like they were like, people are going to watch football. They don't care that if Herschel Walker is going to play or isn't if that, I think it was like 90.
No, I think 91. I'll tell you why I think it was 87 and it was 87 because
let me look.
But, well, I know that Jerry Rice, the season he caught 22 passes, he only played 12 games because I think there was a work stoppage during that season.
Yeah.
To me, that's still got to be one of the greatest seasons then. When you look at that, it's like, oh,
yeah. You're right. It was 87. Yeah. 87 is like the big one where they got fucked over.
He held the record for like 20 something years till Randy Moss, yeah. I think with the Patriots, 21 years. But he did it in 12 games.
I know. It's crazy.
It's insane.
Yeah. So those first couple of games there's like a whole documentary about it on ESPN, 30 for 30. They did a documentary called Scabs, right. Which is about the Washington, at the time, Redskins. Who were like the scab team was like winning games.
Right.
So, and I think
some of the scabs got on rosters eventually.
I think they won the Super Bowl that year. And I think that the issue was they were trying to
Doug Williams year.
I can't remember. Cause that was around the time that they were good.
Yeah.
But
well, you definitely can't remember cause you weren't alive.
Of course. That's a good point.
I was 8
2 years before I was born.
But I think that might've been the year Doug Williams became the first black quarterback to win a Super Bowl.
I think it might've been. We'd have to double check that.
But it was the regular players by then. It was cause it was only a partial.
But the issue was if those guys played the first 3 games, shouldn't they get a ring? They're like on the team, you know? And I don't think they ever did. Cause the scabs, obviously the players looked at these guys and they were like, fuck you. You know,
yeah.
Like you're fucking us over. And eventually the players just caved. Right. So that's why, because the NFL is just like, to your point about these owners that just are like all powerful. They just say, fuck it. Like people are going to watch football. That's why those spring leagues exist. Like the USFL or XFL, whatever it is now, they have a league full of people you've never heard of. And they draw like 2.5 million on TV in like May. You know, people just want to watch football. So there is no.
But I wish people
union like strength.
I wish. But you made an interesting point because it speaks once again. And here we go. We get to blame America again.
There we go.
It speaks to the population because, like you said, people would watch it even if it was scabs.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
And that's so fucking gross to me. Like, I think that's so gross that, like, you know, because you have enough people probably going, they should be great. It's jealous white dudes. Jealous white dudes going, and I'm sure some black guys also, maybe a couple of Latinos.
Just working class people.
But we know who I'm thinking about who will accuse them of not being grateful. It's going to be a certain demo mostly.
Yeah.
And so they'll watch out of spite to try to fuck over these guys that they're jealous of. And these might be truckers or workers who just went on strike for their own rights. But it's like, but I'm not a player. Yeah, but look at how much money they generate. You as a UPS driver, you generate this much money. You're entitled to a little bit more. Well, they generate billions and they have no contracts. But there is no such contract to strike. I think me and Mike are going to keep making Lord of the Rings references, folks. So buckle up. But I think to me that once again speaks to like, I don't watch the NFL because I found better things to do with my Sunday and I'm still uncomfortable. Uh-huh. And for me, the vote, the fewer that they couldn't give a shit about, an apology would go a long way.
Yeah.
I'd be like, good. I think there needs to be on the record that you were wrong about Colin Kaepernick and how he was treated, but they can never admit it's probably in the settlement agreement. It's probably locked up in law that like we admit no fault.
Yep.
They'd have to admit fault.
Yeah.
And God forbid they might have to spend more money then, which I know they don't have.
Yeah.
but for fans to be like, there's no place where fans would be supportive of these guys. And you watch it every week. It's brutal, this game.
Oh, so brutal.
It is brutal. And to just sit back and go, oh no, they can't get guaranteed. Like, I remember they can cut a guy. They can just cut. And I remember thinking, I think Warren Sapp said it many years ago when he was playing, obviously an elite defensive player. And he called them, you know, just like Kurt Flood referred to himself as a well-paid slave. Mm-hmm. He said it was like slavery. And I, like so many other people, were like, what? That's absurd. It's almost like in politics, when you compare somebody to Hitler, you're losing.
Yeah.
In sports, if you say you're like a slave, it's like, no. And then you get the guy, well, I never remember a slave making $5 million a year. But when you read about it and the fact that you can have a contract with your team and they can just say, no, you don't.
Yeah.
That is, it's almost like they can use your labor under the guise of a contract and then decide. The Jets many years ago, these are things like stuck in my head. This is when I was still watching. They had a running back who was like 50 yards short of like a $3 million bonus. And they cut him before the last game of the season.
Yeah.
How does that not strike a nerve with people? Like, that's unjust.
They still do that.
Of course.
All these leagues do that.
No, but no.
I know in the NFL. No, I'm not.
The NFL, the contract, you can cut me in the NBA.
It's not guaranteed money.
But you got to pay me.
Right.
And the NFL, the most dangerous sport, the most lucrative sport, the most successful sport, the most popular sport, fewest rights.
Yeah, no good.
They might as well make Dana White the commissioner of the NFL at this point.
I think the only money that's guaranteed in football is a signing bonus.
Right.
I think.
That's
crazy.
Which it is. It really is crazy.
Watson.
Well.
206, accused by like 50 masseuses.
Yeah.
Of sexual improprieties.
The Browns will take anybody.
Fully guaranteed $262 million. I love that he was like immediately suspended.
Yes.
After
six
that.
Games. Yeah. And good on Goodell at least, because Goodell like pushed that through.
Right.
As far as I know.
But that's the thing. Kaepernick, like you said, like Kurt Flood, I think the league is trying to be better.
Yeah.
But it doesn't remove the fact that you fucked this guy over.
Yeah.
You changed his life. You
made him a martyr.
You don't get to the NFL. And he was like a pitching prospect also. The NFL if you don't want it. Do you know what I mean? It's like the NBA, you can sometimes have like just some dude who's like, they'll talk about big men often. Well, he's 7'1", but you know, he's got the talent. Like
didn't play basketball until he was 18.
But you'll sometimes see a big who it's like, he just doesn't have that motor. Yeah but he's 7'1" and has a 38-inch vertical and can still get you like 12 and 10
right.
while not being too motivated. To get to the NFL, there's very few people who you have to put in so much skill work and so much weight training work, like so many things. It's like medical school. It's like by the time you become a doctor or an NFL player, you know what you're getting into and you've made a full commitment to this life.
Yeah.
And I just think it's fucked up what they did. So the NFL, it's a great league. It's a great product full of great athletes. I did take my nephew and his friends to a Giants game last year, like as the chaperone, just full disclosure for anybody trying to call me out. Okay. I went as a chaperone.
Got it.
It was not a team I liked playing. So, MetLife, horrible stadium.
Awful.
So,
the worst.
But I just, you know, and feel free. I know a lot of my fans may not be football fans, but I'm curious what you think in the comments on YouTube, because I don't miss football. But then when I watch like something like the Super Bowl or even Hard Knocks, I'm like, it's incredible what these people do. And I don't think I'll ever get what I'm seeking. Maybe another commissioner, but they're probably going to be legally bound by whatever agreement. And I just think, you know, to ruin somebody like for a league. And that's why, that is the main reason why Kaepernick has been so much of this talk. It isn't my team employed had a rapist for a quarterback or an alleged rapist for a quarterback. I was like, I can still root for the Steelers. I like them before Roethlisberger. I like them after Roethlisberger, but I don't have to wear his jersey. Mm-hmm. The jersey get in the trash. But this was the league did this. Mm-hmm. This wasn't one team employed somebody of questionable morals. The league clearly did this. And I just got tired of people, you know, what solidified it was so many people making excuses for the league. Like, where else in our world will people defend the heartless billionaires? Do you know, like, in other words, yeah, like this populist strain that runs through our country now, both on the left and the right, but somehow in sports, I'm with the rich, angry white guys.
Yeah.
Not at my job. At my job, they're killing me and selling my job overseas. But when I watch sports, I'm with the white guys who run things. That's the team I'm on. So watch the NFL this season if you must. I'm not telling anybody to stop. I just think less of you as people. And on that note, we're going to take a break. We'll come back with comedy talk. And we're back. Mike, how was that second break?
My favorite part of the show, as you know.
I did find it a little insulting that, like, right in front of me, you signed up for NFL Sunday ticket.
Gotta make sure it's ready to go. Football's back on Thursday, baby.
And you invited me if I wanted to come watch. And I
did.
It's like, I want to. I think it would be funny if I put on, like, horse blinders. It's like, I'm just here for the camaraderie and the bar food. I will not be watching any games. But we got a punch down of the week, and I'm going to do it. It's Labor Day weekend right now. Scott Pelley, everybody's on taking their time. You know, 60 Minutes is back soon, so he's getting refreshed.
Yeah.
But here's just a simple one. I posted a video on Twitter, as I do sometimes. Breaking news, Donald Trump just announced where Barron Trump will attend college. And I did, it was a video. It wasn't like a joke written joke. And this one person, but he was one of many, replied with Trump University.
Nice.
Yeah, not nice. You hacks. The video, of course, I have him going as a legacy admission to Larry Flint's Hustler Club for college, following in the footsteps of his mother. So the video, which is like 2 minutes long, is very funny, but I love the fact that multiple people, so this is like a community punch down.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, Trump University. Oh, good one. Good one. I why didn't I think of that easy, simple hack answer? So thank you to everybody who was like, Trump University. He's going to Trump University. Trump University. And check the comments. I do this sometimes where I will see, I'll be like, I have a funny reply to that. But I'll be like, let me make sure. There's been like 60 comments. And then I'll see somebody has said what I thought. And I'm like, okay, I'll leave it alone. But no, thank you to the 4 or 9 people who are like, Trump University. It wasn't a guessing game. It was a comedy video. So now let's talk about one special before we get out of here this week so everybody can watch their NFL. I watched You Know Me, which is a YouTube special, brand new, from comedian Greg Fitzsimmons. Greg Fitzsimmons, I think this is the first special I may have watched. If he had a Comedy Central half hour, I may have seen that way back when. But I've been familiar with him as just a name in comedy, and he was a regular, I don't know if he still is, I'm guessing he might be, on Corolla. So he was a pretty regular guest on Corolla. And so
has
I said,
like, has like hundreds of writing credits, I think.
Well, and he mentioned in the special that he has 4 Emmys.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, I gotta get that on that path. But yeah, so he's one of those guys, like he's one of those comedians where I'm like, oh, I didn't even know you were writing for things, but it makes sense. Because sometimes you look at comedians and go, how are you making a living? Like, I don't see you doing too many shows. And then it's always like, oh, they write for this, or they write for someone, or they do. And then, oh, that makes sense. Now that's how I know you're making a living in comedy. But a fan on Facebook had recommended it to me. He said, oh, check it out. And I said, where is it? He said, YouTube. So I watched it and I liked it. You know, as I'm going to like any sort of veteran comic who really knows what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
He does come off, I don't know if it's intentional, but there was a moment where I was looking at him and thinking, my God, you're like the store brand Bill Burr.
You think he can't, I don't think that's his fault as
no,
much.
No, I know. I'm not saying he's trying to do that.
Yeah.
But there is, he's Irish.
Yes.
He's like, the voice is a little off.
Yeah.
The look is a little off.
I think he's like, also a Boston guy.
Oh, there you
go. I think, right?
But I'm not sure. Boston really is per capita, like the comedy, the amount of comedy talent that's come out of Boston is pretty crazy. I'm telling you, I have a theory. Being Catholic is one of the great pathways to becoming a great comic.
Yeah.
It burdens you with a lot early. You know what I mean? And Boston, Irish Catholic, like my father was Haitian, but I might as well have been raised Irish Catholic.
Yeah.
So you get, you know, but anyway. I don't
Boston University.
Boston, there you go. Yep. I don't mean it as an insult, but he almost seems like a guy who, oh, you could play, You remind me more of Bill Burr than Casey Affleck reminds me of Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
Like, I would believe they were brothers before I would believe Casey and Ben Affleck were brothers. But I watched it. It's good. At times I was like, and I think about this with my own comedy. Sometimes I'm like, do I curse a lot on my albums? I'm like trying to think, because cursing has become so, so common that, you know, occasionally I'll be watching a special. I'm like, he said F a lot. It's too much. But he did one thing I hate, and I'm just picking out one thing I hate, because I've heard comics do this a lot. It's one of the hackiest things. It's one I hate when people do it. They bring up porn and they go, anybody who watches porn here? And almost nobody ever claps. It's like $2 billion industry and I'm the only one. $2 billion industry and I'm the only one. I've heard that exact line like 50 times. Mm-hmm. Like that. And so he did it with Viagra. Or I think he said, so I took a Viagra or whatever he said. I think he said Viagra. I took a Viagra. Anybody else here? $1 billion industry and I'm the only one. Okay. I was like, too close to the cliche. Mm-hmm. But it's a very good special. It's sort of, we're in a weird space where like Greg Fitzsimmons is the kind of comedian where I guess he made the choice, obviously, to put it on YouTube, but I don't think anybody would choose YouTube over Netflix, like in terms of money. But I was just sort of like, this is good. Like, this is just another good special where I'm like, it's not the greatest thing I've ever seen, but it's a lot better, which is what you get when you're getting veteran comics who write for a living.
Yeah.
You're going to get better than the, we just discovered some new voice that you have to see. And we're giving them the most elaborate, expensive platform ever to introduce them. You used to introduce people with late night sets. And if you were good, you get a special. And the gatekeepers seemed to mostly know what they were doing. So yeah, Greg Fitzsimmons, you know me. First 5 to 7 minutes, I was a little bit like, all right, I mean, this is fine. And then he hits his stride for a good half hour and I was enjoying it. And other than the one joke, because it's easier to point out. I don't want to ruin good jokes, so it's easier for me to just tell you the one that annoyed me. But yeah, so it's free, everybody. So when you're done buying my album, Half Blackface, on your favorite pay music platform, then you can treat yourself to Greg Fitzsimmons. You know me. It's not in my top three for the year, but it's good. It is definitely good. And you sometimes take for granted what just a comedian who knows what the fuck they're doing can give you, because we're being force-fed a lot of garbage. So on that note, thank you, everybody. Enjoy your football or your guilt trip, whichever you got out of this episode. And Mike, housekeeping?
Housekeeping. Obviously, if you watch the show on YouTube, please leave a comment. It helps us with our algorithm. If you are also watching it on YouTube, you can listen to the show. We're an audio product. We are on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And that's about it, I believe.
Well, great. So I thank you all for joining us. I've made all my announcements. I hope you take some of them to heed, and we appreciate you. And if you like any episode, share it with a friend, the video or the audio. Let's get more people involved. So thank you, everybody. Have a good week. Hope to see some of you at my shows. But if not, I will see you next Thursday.